Folk music is all about stories, and the best ones reach back into the past and offer unexpected insights. One of the highlights of this year's Wellington Folk Festival this Labour weekend is an intriguing Australian show called The Good Girls Song Project. It's a creation of songwriter and musician Helen Begley and actor-singer Penny Larkins. And it's unusual, in folk circles at any rate, in that it blends song cycles with theatrical elements. They sing about women early settlers, not convicts, but others who came to Australia for a new life.
I've lived in London for most of my life, too plain and too poor to be any man's wife. Abandoned by mother, who died in a bed, carried by father who's sinking in debt. I work 12 hours a day on a frame knitter's team, 2 shillings a week for the gloves that I seam. Won't keep me out of the workhouse, I'm a stitch and a plea from its door. I'm a good girl, a quiet girl who's sailed for 6 months to the end of the world to work for a lady, tender fine home, marry a stranger, run a house of my own. Now the government says there's a ship that will sail from Gravesend in spring to New South Wales. They're looking for girls the same age as me. If father says go, I'll be happy to leave. I hear the church ladies will raise the £6 for the boat trip to Sydney and a trunk full of gowns. This Thursday they'll answer this supplicant's prayers, but write a bonnet for winter and a letter that says, I'm a good girl, a quiet girl who's sailed for 6 months to the end of the world to work for a lady, tender fine home, marry a stranger, run a house of my own. Each day on the deck I would stare out to sea, and I'd dream of the life that is waiting for me. An employer's kind face, my husband's embrace, good wages, good work, a most fortunate place. For a good girl, a quiet girl who's sailed for 6 months to the end of the world to work for a lady, tender fine home, marry a stranger, run a house of my own. I'm a good girl.
Good Girls, Helen Begley and Penny Larkins performing for us at the ABC Studios in Melbourne. I began by asking Helen how traditional folk music audiences react to their highly theatrical song cycles.
It's been really overwhelmingly positive. Even the diehards really like this show. I think because we experiment a little bit and move into that traditional sounding territory, enough that they're satisfied that we're tipping our hats to the tradition of Irish Celtic folk music in Australia, but we're also taking it somewhere else and we're giving it a particularly Australian flavour too. You know, the traditional canon of folk songs in Australia, that's white folk songs, is primarily about men and men's work. And so there's a real opportunity for songwriters to fill in the gaps and write about women and their work and their lives through the history of Australia.
How does this work? Are the stories you tell based on real stories?
Yes, they are. Okay. Yes. So it's actually based primarily on the research of an academic named Dr. Liz Rushen. She is a genealogist and a historian and has written about 6 or 7 books on these women. And I use her research as a springboard into these women's lives.
I know you love them all, but can you tell us about a couple of the women that you sing about?
Well, yeah, we have a woman named Elizabeth Wade, and she currently has 2 songs. So Elizabeth Wade was a young woman that was a serving girl in a house, and she was taken advantage of by the master's son. And she fell on hard times and took to drink. But luckily, she had enough skills and enough presentation skills to convince the London Immigration Committee to send her to Australia on this assisted passage scheme. And she ended up here. We don't know what happened to her here, so I imagine she just kind of melted into the fabric of the colony, and hopefully she did okay, but we don't know. And another woman that we sing about is a woman called Isabella Gibson, and she was quite an educated young woman, and she came here, she wanted to be a governess, and we actually have a letter that was written to her family, and she talks about the loneliness and the dislocation and the wanting to go home after 10 months of being in the colony with hardly any friends and not a great situation. So she gets a song as well.
One of the loveliest fun stories that's come up recently is Nicola Cook, who started the first school in Melbourne. And so we've recently been doing all these excavations on a hotel, the Young and Jackson Hotel, very famous hotel in Melbourne, right across the street from Flinders Street Station. And they've just been digging up things in the back of the property, and they found the foundation stone of this first school that was started by Nicola Cook, who's one of our girls. So those sorts of things, I love that stuff where history and now sort of meet together and we go, oh, there's little light bulb moments, and those moments of synchronicity are really exciting.
So the musicality of this, you get the stories, you get a sense for these women. Are you using very traditional folk riffs, if you like, for the songs, or is that important to you, given that this is an historical kind of story that you're telling?
Yes, the sound world tips its hat to that time period. So we use traditional folk instruments like concertina, which Jamie Malloy plays, who is a New Zealander actually, and a fine concertina player. Penelope Swales plays whistles, Irish whistles, and I play guitar, but I tune my guitar in a dadgad tuning, which is an Irish tuning. And yeah, there's little riffs that could have been played in that time, and we're starting to use traditional tunes of that time as instrumental parts to the songs as well. So that's been a quite fun development. So although the songs sound contemporary, they do envelop the sound world of the 1830s and 40s.
Penny, I was talking to Helen about her background as a songwriter and musician. You come from a theatrical background.
That is my background, yes. I am trained at WAPA, which is the sort of Australia's kind of premier musical theatre institution in Australia. So the concept of combining song and story has always been one that's pretty important to me.
When I was watching the videos, I was trying to think of how to describe this, and song cycle is, I think, a beautiful description of it, but it's not musical theatre and it's not opera. You know, it's something other, isn't it, that you've created with this project?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we jokingly refer to it as a folksicle. Sometimes it's just the best way to sort of house a story. And I suppose we've invented a form in a little way, you know, like putting on a theatrical thing in a folk setting, because that's where it's kind of arisen from.
I imagine you feel very close to these women that you are writing about, that you're singing about, that you're inhabiting on stage, you know, and their stories, they have mixed fortunes, I think.
My job is to try to put myself in as empathetic a position with them as I possibly can, in order to try to make the people that are watching the show feel as immersed in the experience of these women as they can. So it's the same job that I'd do with any sort of acting job, I suppose, but it's got this slightly different focus just because it's often in a folk setting where we've got microphones all over the place and people sort of wandering in and out of tents. And so it's a different thing to kind of hold space. And I suppose is interesting considering the environment and the chaos and that the women would have had to experience when they first arrived.
You've got, I think, two song cycles at the moment. Is that right? Voyage and Settlement?
That's right. So at the moment, Settlement is just in a song form. There aren't theatrical elements to it yet. It's still being written. I've got 9 songs written now, but I'd like to write a few more. Voyage is the first part, which is tells the story of the voyage coming from Gravesend in England to Sydney. And it represents the many voyages that came across from England and Ireland to Australia in the 1830s. So, and Settlement then looks at what happens when the girls get here and how they're treated and the obstacles and barriers that they have to overcome to claim a place in the colony.
Good girls, are you referencing there that they're not convicts?
Well, it's kind of a layered reference. When they applied to be on this scheme, they had to prove their worth. They had to prove their moral character. They had to prove that they were good girls. And I guess there's an irony to that as well, because to survive in the colony, they couldn't be good girls. They had to be survivors. They had to do what they could to survive. And also, yes, I guess it does reference the fact that they're not convicts. They're a whole other group of women.
Have you ever sung the story of a woman whose family has been in the audience? I know you get a really emotional and a visceral response from audiences with this.
We do, and I think every performance we will have at least one person come up and either tell us that their great-great-grandmother was one of these girls or that they're one of these girls. I had a woman come up to me at one performance, and she'd been on an assisted passage scheme in the 1970s, and she actually identified with some of the experiences that the girls in the 1830s had experienced. So that was a really fascinating, I don't know, meeting of two centuries, I suppose.
Oh my goodness, what were the shared experiences that she related to?
She just found it really difficult when she got here. It was 1970. She was a young, attractive woman from America. People weren't very welcoming of that. She was harassed in her workplace. She was lonely. She was homesick. And she really hated the first year that she was here. And there's many stories like that we hear from the 1830s, the girls really didn't like their experience when they got here, and they weren't welcomed and they weren't treated that well.
Well, we're, of course, a settler, colonised nation as well, so I suspect that you'll be touching the hearts in the same kind of way over here, getting the similar responses.
We hope so. Yeah, we'll be really fascinated to see how New Zealand audiences respond to the work, and be really interesting to hear if they have similar stories in their history.
How long now have you been working on the Good Girl Project?
Years. It's years. I think I wrote the first song maybe about 9 years ago. So it's been a long process of building this story, writing these songs, creating a script, finding the people to play, recording, performing, testing the songs. The folk festival circuit has been fantastically supportive, particularly while we've been in development stage, and they've allowed us to play at their festivals and to test the material to see if it works in front of live audiences. So we're now looking at going into theatre spaces and sharing these songs outside of the folk festival scene.
The theatre, the costumes, how much more do you think it adds to the stories of these women that you're singing about?
I think it anchors it in the time. If you come across letters, even if people have read Jane Austen, the language is very similar to those Jane Austen books. So the language itself anchors the women in the time of the 1830s, and it just contextualises the songs a little as well. obviously I don't come from the 1830s and I can't speak the way that people spoke then. So I think it's a really interesting element to bring into the show. And it also gives us a little bit of a glimpse into how people spoke and what their attitudes were. And it also is quite contemporary as well, even though the language is a little bit flowery. The themes and the what people are concerned with are very similar to some of the things we're concerned with today. So I thought that was a really interesting element to bring in, just so that we're reminded that, you know, people aren't that different from today as they were 200 years ago.
Helen Begley and Penny Larkins, the Good Girls, performing and taking a workshop in Palmerston North on the 24th and 25th of October before heading to the Wellington Folk Festival over Labour weekend.